How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 86 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head on to iTunes and search Locked On Thunder to subscribe to the podcast there and leave a review once you're on that page as well. Find us on audioboom.com too. Log on to normantranscript.com and check out my blog, Thunder Road, under the sports tab on the site for more Thunder coverage on every day of the week, Monday through Friday. This is our Thursday show. Of course, the Thunder just wrapped up a 105-103 win over the Rockets, ending that four-game losing streak, improving to 7-5 on the season. I'm not going to call it a big win, but definitely an impressive win. I mean, the Rockets are a good team. They were killing them offensively all game. They really locked down defensively at the end of the game to really lock down the Rockets. The Rockets were at 103 points with 100 points with six and a half minutes left in the game. And they finished with 103. So that's a really impressive way to end the game against one of the, in my opinion, three or four best offensive teams in the league right now. They did a great job on James Harden. Russell Westbrook, another great game from Russell Westbrook. 30 points, 9 assists, 7 rebounds. Victor Oladipo, best game with the Thunder, at least offensively, and I thought he had a pretty strong defensive game as well. 29 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists. James Harden, just 13 points, 4 of 16 shooting. He had 13 assists. He had 7 rebounds. They run everything through him. He's going to get those numbers, but Andre Roberson did a fantastic job on him. I thought Roberson's been great. I've been banging the Roberson drum all season. I think he's having a great defensive season right now. I think he's been as good as he ever has. He's been great on the ball. He's been great off the ball. He's been a great team defender. He's been great guarding screens. He's been great guarding ball screens. He's been great guarding the ball in isolation possessions. He's been great in just about everything. He's blocking shots even now more than he ever has. I mean, he's been fantastic defensively. I think it's a good argument that this was his best defensive game of the season. I mean, if you're going to go 2-for-11 from the field, this is the way to do it. And he added 7 boards and 4 assists, too. He actually did some stuff on the offensive end, even if he was 0-for-5 from 3 and he was missing his jumpers and he was missing some shots, but he was fantastic. He did such a good job guarding James Harden in this game. Just not biting. Not biting on any of, like, those Harden dinks that he normally does, whether they're pump fakes, whether it's the way that he swings the ball around, gets your arm. Like, he actually, like, put Anthony Morrow in like an arm lock with the ball at one point. I think it was the end of the first quarter, and got a foul called on him because Morrow just got his arm intertwined with him, and Harden just lifted the ball and he got a foul call at the end of the quarter, and Harden got a couple of free throws. And that's the kind of stuff Harden does time and time again. He's always doing that kind of stuff. It's how he gets to the line. It's not how he averages a lot of points, but it's how he averages as many points as he actually does, how he gets up into the 30s. It's how he climbs that high, because he's so good at getting into the line, drawing those fouls. And that's not flopping. That's a skill. Like, drawing fouls is an absolute skill. There's a reason some guys get to the line a lot, and there's a reason that those guys get to the line every year, and it doesn't vary from year to year. It's a skill, and it's something that he is absolutely incredible at. And Andre Roberson did a great job just not biting on that kind of stuff. I mean, there was a play where Harden got visibly frustrated in the fourth quarter when the Rockets were just kind of missing left and right, and Roberson was ISO'd on Harden on the left wing. Harden pump fake once. Roberson kind of moved his hands, but he didn't bite on it. Harden went again. Roberson moved his hands, but he didn't bite on it. Harden went right. Roberson stayed in front of him. He forced him to pick up his dribble in the middle of the floor, and Harden just had to, like, kick it out to the top of the key, and the Rockets ended up with a three, an uncomfortable, off-balance three as the shot clock ran out. It was a great defensive possession, and it just kind of showed how good Andre Roberson was defensively. He really frustrated Harden, I thought. Look, Harden got his assists. He got his facilitating. He was really great out of the pick and roll, just facilitating out of the pick and roll. He's so great at finding rollers with those bounce passes. He's so great. He's as good as anybody in the league at setting up his teammates for catch and shoot corner threes. Like, the Rockets attempted 43-point shots in this game. That's not a coincidence. The Rockets shoot more threes than anybody else in the league. They're averaging more than 36 a game coming into this game. So it's no shock that they were able to put up 43s in the game. It's barely over their season average. That stuff's going to happen with them. It's just their team philosophy, putting up a lot of threes, spreading the floor, running that pick and roll in the middle of the floor and facilitating and scoring out of that. But I thought Robertson did a great job. He fought around hard around those ball screens. The Thunder really showed a lot of faith in Andre Robertson, because a lot of teams will switch on those pick and rolls. Thunder weren't doing it. And a couple of times, Harden got ahead just because, you know, he's maybe the MVP of the league right now, and there's not a defender. You know, Kawhi Leonard, Draymond Green, like, I don't care who you name. I guess Draymond's not the ideal defender for him, but, you know, Robertson or Kawhi or Avery Bradley or whoever it might be, like, there's not a defender in the league who's going to guard Harden perfectly for 48 minutes. He's too good. He's an absolute superstar. That's what superstars do. Robertson did about as good of a job as I think you're going to do. He was great. Just, they put him on an island, and he did, I thought, a really good job. Houston was on a roll to start that game, though. Like, Harden wasn't, but everybody else kind of was. I mean, the Thunder were too, but Houston was up 11 in the third quarter. They were up, I think, 87-76, midway through the, or near the end of the third quarter. They were at 90 points at the end of the third. This game looked like it was one that, you know, it was in the 60s at halftime. Both teams, like, this was a game that looked like it could get up into the 120s, and then Houston just stopped scoring. They just stopped. They started missing shots. I mean, I think the Thunder did. The defense locked down a little bit more, but Houston was definitely missing some open threes. Ryan Anderson missed some open threes. Eric Gordon missed some open threes. There are some shots that could have gone in that didn't. They just kind of stopped scoring. So Clint Capella had a dunk with 6 minutes and 27 seconds left in the fourth quarter to give Houston a 6-point lead, 100-94. The Rockets didn't score again until 0.9 seconds left. Eric Gordon hit a 3 with 0.9 seconds left, one that didn't matter. Made the game 105-103, which was the final score. They went 6 minutes and 26 seconds without scoring down the stretch. That is crazy for an offense that is definitely one of the 5 best in the league, maybe one of the 3 best in the league. Like, if we think Golden State's the best offense in the league, I think this has an argument for the 2nd best. I really think you can make that argument with the way Harden's played, with the way D'Antoni has them playing. They're not up there statistically yet. I mean, they're really high. They're top 10. But I think, you know, real soon, by the end of the year, this is an offense that could be top 2, 3, 4. Like, there's not that much of a ceiling on this offense. And it just kind of stopped. And, like, down the stretch in the final minute, I'm pretty sure nobody wanted to win this game. Okay, here's what happened in the final minute. So Harden misses a 3. Capella back taps it out to the top of the key, usually an offensive rebound. Andre Robertson gets it instead. The ball changed hands about 5 times in probably 4 seconds. Because Harden misses the 3, Capella back taps, Robertson corrals it. He immediately shovels it back to Westbrook, who he thinks is going to run. Westbrook sees Steven Adams flying down the floor on the other end of the court. He tries to chest pass it. He doesn't see that Harden's right in front of him. Harden bats it down. He immediately sees Ariza in the corner. He swings to Ariza, but Ariza cuts and Harden throws it out of bounds. Nobody wanted to win on that play. First of all, Westbrook, it was 12 seconds left in the game. Thunder were up 3. And Westbrook was trying to chuck it down for a dunk. Could have held on to just gotten fouled, sealed the game at the line, or at least come close to sealing the game at the line, considering there were about 12 seconds left at that point. He didn't. Thunder got the ball back anyway because Harden threw it away. Then Alex Abrines ends up shooting a layup with 7 seconds left instead of just holding on to get fouled. Off-balance layup, and Abrines misses it. Ill-advised shot. Obviously not a shot that he should have been taking. Even Billy Donovan hinted at that after the game. Not a good shot to take. Thunder got lucky and got the ball back again because the ball went out on Houston somehow. Then Russell Westbrook gets the ball. Now, this is one of those plays. I'm finally talking about the dunk. I guess we were wondering, like, how long can I go without talking about the play of the game? Well, I made it almost 10 minutes. So close. So close to 10 minutes. There was the Westbrook dunk to end it, which was amazing. That was crazy. It's amazing to see that, like, a human being can do something like that. Like, I wonder if I, like, tried that on a 7-foot rim, like, I wonder how ridiculous I would look. Like, I would come so far from doing that on, like, a 7-foot rim. I'm also not good at basketball, which is a related piece of information. Watching someone do that is amazing, but that was obviously an ill-advised basketball play. Like, cool to go to the rim, but like, just get fouled. If you miss that dunk and you hit back rim, you're giving a long rebound to Houston when they have a few seconds to get down the floor. If you're going to give a rebound, at least, you know, give it a short rebound so they have to take longer to get down to the floor. You dunk it that hard, that rebound's going to go all the way out to the three-point line. It's going to ricochet maybe farther than that. So, look, amazing play. I think anybody who was there was happy it happened because it's always exciting to see amazing plays. But, like, there were so many plays that happened down the stretch of that game where you're like, okay, I'm pretty sure nobody wants to win this game. It was a crazy ending. It was a fun game to be at. The crowd was awesome down the stretch. I thought it was one of the best crowds of the season. Super loud. Really got up. Really good environment. That fourth quarter was real loud during that comeback. It was a fun game to be at. Westbrook was fantastic. He's been taking fewer threes the last three games. Only two for four from three. Not really taking pull-ups. He only took up one pull-up three in the game against Houston. He's only taken nine threes in the last three games. And he's had some games this year, 3 of 12, tons of pull-ups. You know, ever since he had that pull-up to lose against the Clippers, that's when he's kind of stopped taking pull-ups. I wonder if that had an effect on him. You know, he said after that game that maybe he could have driven. He did say that. He said the same thing after the Phoenix game when he pulled up at the end of regulation. They ended up winning that game in overtime. But he pulled up at the end of regulation. He said, oh, you know, I should have driven the ball on that play. And he kind of hinted at a similar thing in the Clippers game. He said, yeah, maybe I could have driven the ball, but that's okay. And since he's kind of been doing it, so I asked Russell about it after the game. Is it a coincidence? Is there anything to it that you've been taking more shots? He's just taking what the given defense is giving you? Or is it something? And he said, you know, after he insisted that he doesn't watch film earlier in the day, he said, you watch and you learn from your mistakes. And he said that he's aware, that he's self-aware, and that there are things he knows he can correct. And I thought that was interesting. I wasn't quite expecting that answer, to be honest. I kind of thought he was going to say, well, you know, I'm taking what the defense has given me, and you do what's going on in the flow of the game, and that's what's been the flow of the game, and I thought that was going to be it. Interesting. I don't know if it'll continue. It's three games. You know, who knows? It's three games. Probably won't. But I think it's an interesting trend. It's at the very least, I think it's something to watch. Because I think we can all agree Russell Westbrook is the best when he's going at the rim. Because he's darn good at that. And you know what? No coincidence. All three games, he's been fantastic on the offensive end. He was great offensively tonight. 30 points on 20 shots. They lost to Detroit, but it was another great offensive game for him. They lost to the Magic, but it was another great offensive game for him. Even though he got off to a slow start, he was fantastic offensively in those last three quarters. So it's working. Like, I think most people would agree. It works well when he goes to the rim. He is explosive, and he finishes, and he's, you know, he's great when he's doing that. And he's been real efficient in doing it. He's been really efficient. So I'm just interested by this. I don't know if it continues or not, but for three games, it's an interesting trend. Twitter question, and then I'll go. I'm going to combine two Twitter questions because I think they mesh well together. First one is from Sam Hines. When Samaje is on the court, should he be the secondary ball handler? He obviously is with Russ, but what about Oladipo? And the second one is from Jason. Was tonight a case of Victor just catching fire, or was he more aggressive, which made him score more than we've seen him do? What I mean is there something he can build on, or is this just a game he got hot and things will go back to normal? So Oladipo, 29 points, season high, 12 of 18 from the field, 5 of 7 from 3, played a pretty good defensive game too. His best game of the season, I don't think there's any debating against that one. I've developed a theory on Oladipo, or I shouldn't say it's a theory because it's not an opinion, but it is a trend. Something that I'm looking out for. It's just kind of something that I'm watching right now. And I think through 12 games, it's a valid thing to say, all right, let's watch this. I'm not sure Oladipo loves taking the point guard duties. I'm not sure he loves playing with the second unit. And when I say that, I don't mean that he's giving a hard time about playing with the second unit. I'm just not sure he gets so comfortable when he's doing it. He always talks about when you ask him about Orlando and that kind of stuff. He he kind of speaks not openly completely, but also not cryptically completely, somewhere in between, about how the Magic jerked him around from point guard to shooting guard to the bench to the starting lineup and back and forth. And you can kind of infer that he values stability in a role. And I think the way that he, just the tone he talks about it, he seems like he's most comfortable in that kind of role where he can be off the ball. And it makes sense because he's a little bit of a deferential player. And Thunder fans have seen that now, where he's a little bit of a deferential player. So it makes sense that he would like to be out there with another playmaker. That's something that makes sense. Now, when he's out there with Samaje Christen, he's still, I mean, Christen is getting the handling and that kind of stuff. But Oladipo is, they're sharing ball handling duties, we'll say. Now, here's something to consider. Here's why I grouped these two questions together. 25 of Oladipo's 29 points came with Westbrook on the floor next to him tonight. 25 of 29. He only had 4 points when he was playing with the bench unit. That's kind of in line with what he's been doing on the season. So listen to this. Oladipo, when he plays next to Westbrook, 48% from the field, 42% from three. Really efficient numbers. When he plays with Westbrook off the floor, 30% from the field. He's taking way fewer threes because he's not getting catch and shoot opportunities. He's only 4 of 10. He's taking way fewer threes. And here's the thing. Oladipo has been great on catch and shoot opportunities this year. 46% on catch and shoot opportunities. And who's getting him the catch and shoot opportunities? Russell Westbrook. Now, 46% is significantly higher than he's been in the past. I think last year he was 36 or 37% on catch and shoot opportunities. But he really improved his shooting late in the year. And I think his looks right now are better than his looks were in Orlando. He's got Russell Westbrook creating those looks as opposed to Elfrid Payton or whomever else was creating those looks. He's got Russell Westbrook getting him wide open ones. Guys are helping off of him a lot. These are pretty open looks. And I think the type of looks that he's getting on those sorts of shots, those are sustainable looks. You talk about if tonight's performance was sustainable, like no, 5 of 7, he's not going to shoot 70% from three. But the looks that he's been getting this year, those are sustainable looks. Now, I don't know if he stays up at 46% on catch and shoot threes, because that's a really, really, really elite number. And I don't know if somebody goes from spotty shooter, no pun intended, to really, really elite catch and shoot guy. But I think he's going to get a bump, because guys get a bump when they play with great point guards. Guys are really, really collapsing in on Westbrook, and they're helping off of Oladipo when they have to. Not every time, but they're helping off of Oladipo a decent amount, and Oladipo is getting a lot of looks in those scenarios. Here's the thing. He doesn't have to shoot 46% to be really good. He can shoot below it. He's taken over 4 catch-and-shoot threes a game. So when he plays a lot next to Russell Westbrook, I think he's a lot better. Now, Billy Donovan, for the most part, pretty much all season, has been staggering those two guys because, to his logic and to pretty much everybody else's, I don't think that's really a controversial decision at all. Because to his logic, you need one of those guys on the floor to create. With Cameron Payne out, you kind of have to. But if Oladipo is going to shoot 30% with Russell Westbrook off the floor, and this is a small sample size, so saying he's shooting 30% right now with Westbrook off the score, with Westbrook off the floor, doesn't mean he's a 30% shooter with Westbrook off the floor. But if there's going to be a drastic difference between his performance with Westbrook on and Westbrook off, and trust me, I'm sure Billy Donovan is very, very aware of these numbers. Billy Donovan is a whole lot more analytically inclined than I am. But if he's going to put up those numbers, if it's going to be so drastic with him on and him off, like the Thunder are still getting killed with Oladipo on and Westbrook off. They're a minus 35. Now, that doesn't really say a ton about Oladipo because they're pretty much getting killed when Westbrook is off in every lineup, no matter what. You know, whoever you put around Oladipo, they're pretty much getting killed every time. But if they're going to get killed in those lineups, I don't know, maybe you're best just maximizing Oladipo and maximizing his minutes next to Westbrook as much as you can. I don't know. I honestly don't know the answer. Like I said at the start of this, this is not an opinion thing. I'm just kind of laying out options right now, and I don't think you make a change 12 games in. Now, something that I think will help him is when Cameron Payne returns. Because Cameron Payne is a guy who can create shots for him. But if you can put Oladipo in some more situations where he can play next to guys who can create for him, I think he's a lot better. And I don't think you need to change things in the short term because I understand why you want him out there with the bench unit. You know, just because you're not doing well doesn't mean you can't do worse. Of course. Like, you're minus 35 now with Oladipo on and Westbrook off. Maybe if you take him, Oladipo off, those lineups are even worse. That's very possible, maybe even likely. But in the long term, you know, the Thunder just signed him to a four-year deal, which starts after this one. So they got him for 5 years, including this year. In the long term, maybe the best way to maximize Victor Oladipo moving forward is not to put him in the situation where he's got to be the creator. Now, that doesn't mean that he can't have a huge role in the offense, but maybe his best role is to be a guy who can play off of other guys. I don't know which way it is. I don't know, man. It's late. I'm tired. Sometimes I just talk out loud on this podcast. Like, I don't actually have theories. I just develop them on here. And then I'm like, oh, maybe I'll write about that later. So this is kind of what I'm doing right now. I honestly really don't. Like, I don't mean to seem like I'm suggesting something. I'm really not. I'm not suggesting anything other than this is an interesting trend. But I do think it's definitely interesting the way things have played out so far. Remember, I'm on every weekday, Monday through Friday. You can head into iTunes and subscribe to Locked On Thunder if you have questions or comments. Email lockedonthunder@gmail.com. If you want to contact me, you can also find me on Twitter at Fred Katz, FredKatz. Log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs. And check out Thunder Road. That's my blog there to follow team coverage and what's next for the Thunder. That's going to do it for today. Back with you tomorrow for a preview of the Nets game. Going to have one of my buddies on to preview that game. They got the Pacers again this weekend. Then they go on a West Coast road trip next week during Thanksgiving. They got the Lakers. They got the Kings. They got the Nuggets. It's honestly, it's a nice little stretch for the Thunder, who are 7-5 now. The horrors of that four-game losing streak are in the past now, and they're 7-5. They're in okay shape. They got a good stretch in the schedule coming up. If they can win some games, they're going to look just fine. But until tomorrow, until the Nets preview, Locked On Thunder is locking up.
The new iPhone?
Yeah, got it on T-Mobile. Fastest iPhone deserves America's fastest LTE network.
Introducing the amazing iPhone 8. It's the best iPhone yet, now on America's best unlimited network. For a limited time, save up to $300 on the amazing iPhone 8 after 24 monthly bill credits. And now join T-Mobile's iPhone upgrade program for free.
Eligible trade-in and finance agreement required. If you cancel service, you may lose promo credits. Contact us for details. Video at 480p. Small fraction of users over 50 gigs per month may have reduced speed. See store for details.